Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
to
any
stay
idea?
The pump really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything! It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I...
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports.
Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. If that mugshot of Trump doesn't get you to vote for him, I don't know what will, or against him. Hell, I don't care anymore. Happy Friday!
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I do find it funny that both sides are complaining that the other side are trying to capitalize off of the mugshot of former President Trump. I've heard it from both sides, and I'm like, what the hell? Anyways, moving on. Who cares? It's Friday. It's football. It's baseball. We got things rolling. We're doing the Titans today. We're doing the Falcons today. And we're doing the Georgia Bulldogs. A big end to our mini camp schedule as college football, as you most of you well know, begins tomorrow. Tomorrow, college football begins-ish. It's really a terrible slate. There's not even one game that you can say, man, I can't wait to watch that one. It's really a bunch of junk. But it'll be nice to have it on in the background while we get ready for tomorrow. The Braves will be playing at 4:05 Eastern. But the college football slate, if you haven't seen it, you're not missing anything. It's all lopsided matchups. And the ones that aren't lopsided matchups, they're teams that nobody really cares about. No offense to those of y'all who may have graduated from those schools, but the average sports public just does not care. I can't even remember who they are. I remember Notre Dame and Navy playing. I know Southern Cal's in action. Vanderbilt's playing Hawaii. That's about it. I think the Vanderbilt-Hawaii might be the most interesting of all of them, because if Vanderbilt's going to take the next big step, they've got to pound Hawaii like they did last year. And that game's actually in Nashville tomorrow. So unlike last year, if you remember, that game was like midnight or whatever the heck it was. And I actually remember staying up for that game thinking I was going to get a decent ball game, and Vanderbilt just dominated. So hopefully for the Commodore fans, more of the same. For you Hawaii fans, hey, it's great, man. Great for y'all that y'all are listening, because I don't know how the hell you found us. But in all seriousness, with the college football kicking off-ish, it really starts Thursday. And Thursday, that's when you'll really get the flavor of what Armchair Quarterback Radio is. We'll really be diving into a lot of football, continuing with our baseball, because baseball's first around here, and we are getting down to the nitty-gritty at this point. At this point, you are talking about heading into, I mean, we've got like 5 weeks left in baseball. And that seems like a lot. It really isn't. It'll fly by like that. And you hope that you're playing well. So let's get into a little bit of Braves country today. As Bobby will be jumping in the bullpen here in a second, we're going to transition to the Titans and the Bulldogs and the Falcons. But before all that, let's go ahead and transition just a little bit into Braves country.
You're in Braves country.
Easter. How about that? I saw someone put it in the chat, and good afternoon to everybody in the chat. It's going to be a late one staying up. That's right, it is going to be a late one staying up, as the Atlanta Braves will be starting at 10:15, and nobody really looks forward to that. But if anybody does, strangely enough, I like it. I do. It's rough on me because of my schedule, but I'm perpetually a night owl, so I actually enjoy the late night games. It would be much more enjoyable if I didn't have to be up at the crack of dawn the next day on several of these broadcasts. But that's okay. We persevere. I'm looking forward to the rematch with the Giants. We took 2 of 3 in Atlanta. Can we do the same in San Francisco? San Francisco is a team that's fighting for their playoff lives. They're looking to salvage a couple of wins at home. We'll do more of a deep dive going into tonight's game on the pregame show. That'll get started a little earlier tonight. I think we're going to actually do it. It'll get going. I want to say it'll be dropping 9 p.m.-ish, right about 9 o'clock. So a little over an hour before first pitch. And we'll get into a little bit more of that. Because the game is going to be so late, what we're going to do, we're going to keep the thread up. It's too big of a headache to go and create a new thread. So we are keeping the thread up for tonight. But what we're going to do is we will replay the afternoon show. And for folks who may have missed it or what have you. So we're looking forward to this series because, hey, if nothing else gets you fired up on a Friday night, it's Spencer Strider night. It's Spencer Strider night in San Fran. He had an incredible performance his last time out. And we're hoping for more of the same. Spencer Strider comes in 14-4 with the 3.57 ERA. In tonight's game, you're going to be looking at it's an exact rematch of what was it, six days ago? 7 days ago. My bad, 7 days ago. I was thinking he was the Friday guy, but he was the Saturday guy. He was the Friday guy. So Spencer Strider will be back in form. So he's had not just one extra day of rest. That's what threw me off because during the press conference they mentioned an extra day of rest. This is 2 extra days of rest. He pitched on Friday. He went 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. How many pitches he threw? 97? So he should be ready to rock and roll. It was the week before that he pitched on Saturday leading into Friday. So now he's going Friday to Friday. He won't get that extra rest in all likelihood next week because we don't have a single day off until we get back to Atlanta. It's 10 straight days of... Man, I'll tell you what, did the Braves pick a perfect time to get the hell out of Fulton County with all the stuff going on with all the DOJ and all the guys turning themselves in and whatnot? My God, that was the first thing I thought of this morning when I saw all the pictures being released of all the mugshots. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are, you're on, you know the thing's a circus. And I was like, man. Braves picked a perfect time to get the hell out of town. Hopefully all that nonsense will be out of the way when they come back in 10 days. But we've got 10 days on the road. We don't get a single day off. We don't even get a getaway game, which I was thinking about this, and it's good and it's bad. The bad part is you don't get a long layoff so that when you go to travel, for instance, when we leave San Francisco, we're playing – Sunday night. So we're not going to have this big gap of when you get into Colorado and be able to rest and whatnot. You're just going to basically gonna get off the plane, go to bed, wake up and get going again. So I know a lot of fans will flip out. It doesn't matter if I say it now or say it again or say it 50 times between now and the end of this road trip. There are going to be fans that are going to overreact and say they're playing like junk, and they're this and that, and they may very well play like junk on a few of these games. because they're human and they're going to be tired because they're not getting their traditional break that these, we all know, we're all creatures of habit. And if you're asked to do something outside of what you normally do at work, whether it's a big deal or not, it will throw you off. So I fully expect us to kind of kick the can on one of these games. It'll probably be one of the ones in Colorado when you've got the altitude and the ball flying, et cetera, et cetera. I think they'll keep their focus in the San Francisco series. I would hope they're going to keep their focus in the Dodger series, which is next weekend starting on Thursday. In between, it is a very easy look ahead when they're going to play in Colorado against a terrible Rockies team that they manhandled the first time through. To stay focused Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's going to be the key. Now, if the pitching is there, the Braves' bats will score in Colorado. I'm not concerned with it. But it's all about, to me, the way it's laying out right now, it appears that unless they change their mind, it appears that what we're going to get over the next few days is Strider tonight, Max Fried tomorrow, and Sunday, it's being assumed at this point that it will probably be Jared Schuster. They just haven't made that decision yet because they very well could use him in a long relief role between now and then. It's less likely now. They were more looking at it for the last two games of the Mets series. Now it's less likely that's going to happen, and he'll be geared up to pitch on, and he'll actually have a couple extra days of rest on Sunday Night Baseball. That will be basically going into that game, that will be an exaggerated bullpen game. If they get aggressive, you could very well get Schuster out by the fourth inning, two times through the lineup, et cetera, et cetera. The Braves probably aren't going to do that because I think that they believe and they feel like that it's more important to keep their big guns ready for the Dodger series. And with the Dodger series looming on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week, you want all your ducks in a row because not only do we want to have the best record in baseball, remember something, the Dodgers took 2 of 3 from us in Atlanta. It seems like 2.5 years ago that we played that series. But they took 2 of 3, which means if we split the series with the Dodgers, they're still going to have home field advantage if it ends up in a tie. It's the only way that that comes down to it. I still would take a split series with the Dodgers because if we split the series with the Dodgers, you look at our schedule going forward and their schedule going forward, it's pretty reasonable to think that the Braves can outplay the Dodgers down the stretch. Now, they are playing a Washington team that's playing much better baseball, but on paper, when you play the Washington Nationals 7 times in the last 10 games of the season, you should thoroughly dominate that. You should win at least 5, if not more. Squeezed in between that is at home against the Cubs. If they're taking the game seriously and they're putting their best foot forward, that's a big if at that point. I would think they would win that series. You can't assume a sweep, but you would think that the Braves would win 2 out of 3. But it really comes down to who plays in those last games in the last 2 weeks. If we have a big enough lead, you're probably going to see them kind of take the foot off the gas. But if it's going down the stretch and it comes down to home field advantage, I do believe that is an important thing to the Braves front office and to Snicker, Weiss, the whole 9 yards, Washington, you name the coach on the staff, it's important to them. That doesn't mean they're going to gut the team and burn them out to get it. But it's got a different feel than it did last year when we were trying to chase down the Mets. Now it just feels like that we're trying to get some arbitrary home field advantage. Hey, that's great if we get it. If we don't, we'll just have to win on the road. But if it's within reach, they're going to get aggressive. But a split with the Dodgers and winning the Giants series
winning the Rocky series, we'll take that all day long. Those are big Fs, but you're talking about on a 10-game road stand going 6-4 against two very good teams and then just difficult elements in Colorado. I'll take that all day long. Now, tonight, we're going up against, we saw him the other day, and it was in the game that we saw, Logan Webb the other day. Logan Webb, remember, he pitched, he pitched on Saturday. Strider pitched on Friday. So it wasn't head-to-head. In fact, I believe we had Freed on Sunday and Elder. So we won that game 6-5. And he gave up 4 runs, Logan Webb did. But big picture, it took us a while to get to him. Now, this is going to be the second time you've seen him in a week. Same thing with Strider. Same thing with Freed tomorrow. Be the second time the Giants will have seen him in a week. So that always that's always an advantage to the hitter. But when you have two elite pitchers like Strider, like Freed, I'll take my chances on that. I'm not as worried about it. Logan Webb is very good in his own right. I still think the Braves should win tonight. But when you've seen Atlanta routinely in the minus 200 money line, minus and above, we're talking about 220, 205, 250. It's routinely like that every night. Tonight, it's minus 160. So that tells you that Vegas believes that though the Braves are a better team, a better roster, and even a better pitching matchup slightly, they believe that San Francisco has a puncher's chance, and they do. If the Braves don't come out and play well, they could very well lose this game. If you lose this game with Schuster pitching on Sunday, that could be a huge problem. A huge problem. Because we don't know. Right now, it almost looks as though San Francisco, they still have not released their two starters for Saturday and Sunday. There's been some rumor, but not like stamp of approval. We could end up with two bullpen games, extended bullpen games with San Francisco. I could guess and make an educated guess on who's going to start in those games. There's no point of wasting all that energy and time because you can go back the 5 days before and say, well, this guy started this. They're going to be bullpen games. And when they do bullpen games, they're doing it almost like the way I'm mentioning Schuster, where it's an extended bullpen game, meaning not a true bullpen game, not like a Tampa Bay Rays bullpen game where they send a guy out to have an opener, he pitches one inning, and then they go to the next guy, and he's set up to do two, and then you go to the next guy. No, the Giants try to set their bullpen game as a guy to go, just like Jacob Junis the other day, trying to get him to go somewhere in the neighborhood of 2-3 innings. 4 is outstanding, but that's what we're going to be looking at this weekend. And Atlanta, you look at the fact that right now, Atlanta coming into this game is really staring at a stretch of games that when we get back from the West Coast, it really goes into our favor. And we're playing St. Louis, who's not the Cardinals. I mean, I'm at this point just want to call them the St. Louis Baseball Club because they're not the Cardinals. They're not the Cardinals I grew up watching or you grew up watching. This is a shell of the former Cardinal organization for this year. It's not doom and gloom for that organization. They got a lot of talent. They've got a really good farm system. They play the Pirates. Those are two series they should win at home. So my whole goal in this series, I don't worry about sweeping someone. Just get, if you could tell me we'd be 6-4, 5-5, get off that plane, get back into Atlanta, Labor Day afternoon when the Braves are off, and we can sit there and grill out, barbecue, and get ready for, what is it? I think Clemson is playing Duke that night. Get ready for that game, and we've gone 5-5. As long as 4 of the losses aren't to the Dodgers, then I'll take it.
I'll take a split right now with the Dodgers. The Dodgers, it's not like that they've got a cakewalk before they meet us, which helps us immensely. The Dodgers are in Boston to face the Red Sox tonight. And they will be there, obviously, throughout the weekend. And then after that, they go to Arizona. I'm sorry, they're at home against Arizona. Yeah, they're at home, blah, 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 blah. That is a team that is going to put a wear on their pitching staff. I'm open for deep, high scoring, deep into the game, games with Arizona. They play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They do not have a getaway type day. So that kind of evens it out considering the fact that Atlanta's going to play Wednesday night at 8:40 is their first pitch. Dodgers are playing Arizona at 10:10 first pitch. So in theory, the Braves will get to bed about the time the Dodgers do. We do have to travel, but it won't be this big gap. So there you have that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Bobby is on the way, and we're going to be talking the Tennessee Titans. We got the Georgia Bulldogs queued up, and we're talking the Falcons. Titans, Bulldogs, Falcons. So tighten up, rise up, and hunker down, you hairy dogs. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here on WQEE 99.1 FM. And Braves Country on YouTube. Braves Country HD, youtube.com/@Braves Country. We'll be back in a flash, y'all.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players...
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Intones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Saturdays this fall, talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th, right here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM, WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback, the All-American Man.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You got to keep on your toes.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm going to have to speed things up. You can get the Farmers Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limited hearing, full stop making lane change signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, Braves fans. Thank you for listening to Braves Country Baseball. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we are here to bring you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves and bringing you spring training and 2 to 3 games a week all season long. Please like and subscribe today. Braves Country Baseball.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit Stamps.com.
Sit, Shark!
I'm not playing, you stupid game!
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You're listening to WQEE in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m.
She's a 10, but her favorite football team sucks.
That would more than likely make her a Florida Gators fan. Go Dogs.
Well, if you stand and block the screen, you may just lose your life. The armchair quarterback, he's full of beer and he's full of snacks.
Welcome back. And our resident Georgia Bulldogs fan here, Bobby the Kid. Bobby, how are you? Bobby, you're muted.
You're right.
Come on, Gator. You can't do anything right.
I wish, at times, I wish I was a Georgia fan. But no, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad. We're going to get started here with the, assuming there it goes. There's the man, the myth, the legend, Derrick Henry. The franchise at this point. Or that's not even Derrick Henry.
It's Treylon Burks.
Yeah, it's Treylon Burks. So that's a bad omen. I was doing it without my glasses, really just grabbing pictures. Someone made a – so you can't see the whole thing because if you zoom back, you would see the schedule. Yeah. Someone made a schedule with Treylon Burks? Come on. Really?
Questionable.
Not D-Hop?
Maybe they made it before D-Hop got signed. Wasn't too long.
Okay, but then you go Derrick Henry. Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Or even someone on defense, Jeffrey Simmons even.
I mean, anybody. Simmons? Yeah. Vrabel, just you know what? Just grab some dude singing up and down the damn on Broadway.
Yeah.
I'd rather see one with what is his name that's gone viral? Oliver Anthony. Just put Oliver Anthony on there with his banjo wherever he's playing with them strings hanging out everywhere.
Give him a tighten up.
Yeah, just tighten up. All right, so are you ready to get into the Tennessee Titans for 2023?
I am, yeah. Yeah, so...
Well, hold on real quick before we jump into it. I do want to get your take on something.
Okay.
In the NBA,
uh-huh.
The whole... Philadelphia 76ers thing that's going on with Harden where he says he won't play. Are you buying any of that?
He won't play for the Sixers, I imagine. Or play for a team with Daryl Morey.
Right.
I believe it. And if he does go out on the court, he'll wear his fat suit again. He'll bring that back out of retirement like he did in Houston. But I think he's dead set on getting a trade. I think either he's just going to straight up hold out, or there's going to be a fake injury situation.
Right, but who wants it? Because I guarantee you, for him to get this trade, he's going to be sticking his nose in there and go, yeah, but I want to get extended. And nobody wants to extend this dink.
Well, even aside of his play on the court, you know, you got to look at the past, like, 3 years. He's had, like, 3 trade requests within 3 years. It's not good. He bounced around from Houston to Brooklyn, now to the Sixers, and now he's off to another team. I mean, it's got to be a little worrying if you're a team.
Is there any contender, true contender, mm-hmm. that you could – I'm not talking about someone who might do it just to put tickets, right?
Yeah.
Is there any true contender that you could see going, eh? I've got one in mind, but I was just curious if you had anyone that may be dumb enough to do this.
My mind goes to the Clippers, but I think they would have done it by now because that was the team at the top of his list. And I think if they wanted him, they would have made that trade by now.
I see them shunning him to Memphis. You talking about dumpster fire? You have Ja Morant waving pistols. You got, you know, Shoney's big boy out there playing shooting guard. Let's go, man. Let's go. I can see them thinking, oh, well, this could really save our season. All right. We'll go ahead and move on to the – football, I don't think anyone wants to talk about it, the NBA, for at least another 8 months.
Not over yet! Hey!
All right. We got the Tennessee Titans. Take it away. Give me your scouting report on the Tennessee Titans for 2023.
All right. I'll start with the offense, looking at quarterback first. Not a lot to talk about with Tannehill. Expect the same old that we've seen out of him every year. He'll probably get hurt somewhere around midseason, another ankle injury. This is the usual thing with Ryan Tannehill. Willis is the backup quarterback, though. He won the QB2 battle. He looked solid in that last preseason game. He had flashes. I was worried that that game would be make or break for him making the roster, but he won that quarterback two battle. So if Tannehill goes down, we'll see Willis step up. Their wide receiver core is a big question mark. I know they signed D-Hop, and I know they have Treylon Burks going into next year, but I have a lot of questions about D-Hop and his reliability at this stage in his career. And then Treylon Burks, obviously, he got hurt a couple times last year. Something to worry about. I do like their tight end situation, though. I love Chigakonkwo. I think he's going to have a solid season. He'll be a good target for Ryan Tannehill. The O-line's concerning, of course. Running back room, they have Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs in the league still. So, offense, it's... I know they added D-Hop, and I know they've got some good players going into year two, you know, taking some steps. Still not a good offense, though. And defense, it's not a whole lot better. They're getting Harold Landry back from an ACL tear, but I think maybe we'll see a slightly better season. But I just don't have high hopes for this team. I think they'll finish below 500, even with the additions they made. It's just not a team I have confidence in. Now, I don't have any confidence in the weapons they have. I don't trust their quarterback. And, you know, they just didn't look good last year. The coaching staff was terrible as well.
Their over-under this year is 7.5.
Yeah.
Do you think
that's right at about where I have my prediction for them?
Do you think they get over the 7.5? Do they get to 8 wins, make them 8-9?
I think there's a lot of games that'll be easier to decide on as the season goes on. But right now I have them sitting at 7-10, so no.
All right, let's go through the schedule real quick. We won't, you know, do a deep dive on every single thing. Yeah. But, by the way, they do play tonight against the Patriots on NFL Network, for those who may want to partake in that. Okay, they start off – we'll take it every 4 games. How about that?
Okay. So,
they start off in New Orleans at the Saints September 10th. That starts the whole thing off. They're at home against the Chargers. They're at the Browns, and then they're at home against the Bengals. Where do you have them there?
I got them 1-3, the only win being the Saints game. The Browns game is very winnable, but I think the Browns will edge that one out. I think the Chargers and Bengals game won't be too close.
I think they're 2-2, but okay.
Okay.
I can't. They'll win one of those home games, either the Chargers and Bengals. I know that sounds crazy on paper, but it's a home game,
yeah.
Right? So I just figure they're going to win one of those games, and they're either going to – I'm interested to see what Deshaun Watson looks like in year two, but they're either going to go in and just gut out a win in Cleveland, or the Saints are starting with brand new – and the Saints don't have Kamara, so it's a little bit of a hindrance. I don't think it's the end of the world for the Saints, but I've got this feeling that they won't be ugly. You won't be it'll be ugly. You won't be impressed by any of it.
Yeah.
But it'll be like, all right, here we go. I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked if this team was 3-1, but then falls. The thing with the Titans early on is, and this is something Vrabel's got to fix.
Mm-hmm.
You see this year after year.
Yeah.
Their defense gets much better as the season goes on. Every year. It's not like this is his first season coaching, or last year was, or the year before. Every year, this defense is almost a sieve, and then right around late October, they start buckling down, and you start seeing one of the better defenses in all the National Football League.
Yeah.
So my challenge to Vrabel is, can you see that in week one? Do you have to wait till week 8? Because if it's a sieve, then I'm with you. 1-3 will be a godsend.
Yeah.
All right. You move on from that. They're at the Colts, at home against the Ravens, home against the Falcons, and at the Steelers. Man, this is a tough schedule.
It is. Honestly, I got them being the Colts, of course. I'll have them dropping a game to the Ravens. They'll beat the Falcons, and I think they'll lose the Steelers, so 2-2 in that stretch.
So I've got them probably going 1-3 down that stretch. Maybe they'll either beat the Falcons or the Ravens. Something tells me that they drop the road games in Indy and in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
All right, so anyways, they're at the Buccaneers. They're at the Jaguars. Home against the Panthers. Home against the Colts. What you got?
I got them, let's see. I'll give them the Bucs game. I'll go 3-1 in that stretch with a loss to the Jaguars.
I agree with that. I actually like that. In Jacksonville will be the biggest problem. So then they got 5 games left, and this will really make the difference in the season. They're at Miami, home against Houston, home against Seattle, at the Texans, and home against Jacksonville.
I think this season plays out similar to last, where they end the season horribly. I think they split with the Texans. I think they take one of those 2 games, but I think they lose the other 4.
All right, so where do you have them at?
I believe that adds up to 7-10. Could be 8-9, but either way, well out of playoff contention.
I think they're going to be a little more difficult to deal with. I've got them 9-8.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just because of the defense?
The defense, the running game, and just enough. It really depends on what they get out of Treylon Burke. But it's actually kind of fitting that he's on the screen at this point. But, yeah, the other thing is they've got some talent on the tight end position that you would see sparks of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they would forget about it, right?
Yeah.
I would like to see a little more consistency, and not the other thing is with the Titans and Vrabel, and I'm not putting this all on Vrabel, it's the offensive. It's just been the mindset since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
You start running Derrick Henry and you don't see the openings and you don't see it working, and they just bail on it.
Yeah.
And then they just try to lean on Tannehill. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
He needs the threat of the play action.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. 9-8, that probably doesn't win the division.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be interesting if they're sitting there at 8-8 and Jacksonville's sitting there at 9-7 and that final game says it all. This time it's in Nashville in January, which is going to be one cold-ass place for them boys from Jacksonville to be going up and play.
So, yeah, that'd be fun, man. That'd be fun. A repeat from last year.
We will do the predictions on the playoffs and the divisions next week. Actually, for the NFL, it'll be the week after. We're doing college football next week. But, all right, I just wanted to kind of get a sense of. So, have they already named Willis number 2? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, he's number 2.
That is very disappointing.
For Levis?
What I watched, and I'll watch tonight's preseason game as I get ready for Braves Giants out on the left coast.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw was 2 guys that really didn't look much different, and 1 guy's been there an entire year.
Yeah, that is true. And I think Levis, had he had the opportunity to play in week 2 of the preseason where he was hurt so he couldn't play, I think this could have played out differently, but you know, he was hurt, so Willis had the chance to showcase his skills, and he looked good at times. And I think that was just enough for him to win that QB2 spot, especially since he had been around the team for longer.
Are you getting the sense around there that they're still open to possibly building around Willis, or is he just holding the 2 spot as they try to build up Levis to eventually grab the 1 by next year?
That's what I'm thinking is happening. And I'm not even so sure that Levis would grab that 1 spot. I think he's kind of in that same position Willis was last year, where they just have hope for him. It's not a lot, you know, not a strong confidence in him, but, you know, they used a day 2 pick on him, and they're hoping that something can pan out. I think what the Titans are going to need to do, though, is stop relying on day 2 quarterbacks, blow it up, and go all in on you know, a blue-chip quarterback.
You can't keep blowing second and third round picks on quarterbacks and them not pan out.
Yeah, but I mean, Levis, it's a little bit concerning seeing him be QB3 behind Malik Willis, who Willis looked really bad last year. And I know he's been around the team longer, but it's still a little bit concerning.
I'm just not that worried about it long term because it might be one of the more of those situations where they truly want him to. This is my guess on it.
Yeah.
They want him to learn.
Yeah.
They want him to not be thrown to the fire. And if you make him the number two guy, first of all, you're going to have the fans clamoring for him the first interception Tannehill throws. But then the other thing is, what if Tannehill does get banged up? And then you rush Levis in there. Is he ready? Just because he's the number three quarterback in week one doesn't mean he's the number three quarterback in week seven or eight. So I'm much more impressed with Levis just from his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I see the replay that Florida Kentucky game, I'm like,
bad for both him and Richardson.
Yeah. Although I'll tell you what, did you check out the Colts game last night?
I didn't. I saw Richardson had a touchdown pass, then the Eagles celebration.
Now, granted, he was going up against their third string.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought he looked pretty good. I really did. I was pleasantly surprised by him. I don't think he's going to set the world on fire in year one, but I also don't believe he's going to be Trey Lance either. He's not going to be some project that just is a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he is a project. He's drafted because he has all the tools to be an elite quarterback. I'm hoping he can put it together. It's, you know, he doesn't have that. You don't have that sort of guarantee with him like you do with a guy like Bryce Young. But you look at, you know, just the things he does, his athleticism, the highlights he has. He was wowed by it. I mean,
I want to see more balls to Nkongkwo, or as they call him, Chiggy.
Yeah.
I want to see more balls to Chiggy, and I am very interested to see what Tyjae Spears brings to the Tennessee Titans offense long term.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see, just for this year alone, him to take a little bit of load off of Derrick Henry.
Because I want to, a couple of times this year, I want to be able to yell out that I'm getting Chiggy with it, right?
Hey, man, I'm expecting a big season out of him.
I've always been a big fan of the tight end position.
Yeah.
Because if you have a very good tight end, and look, I'm not just talking about Travis Kelce, who's out of this world. Yeah. I'm talking about, this goes back to, you know, the days of Mark Bavaro of the Giants, which I'm sure you have to look up. But the guy that can move the chains, the guy that is a mismatch for most linebackers trying to cover him.
Yeah.
I just hope that we see more of that. And Westbrook Akeem, are you hearing much from him in the preseason?
Not really. I mean, I guess when I talked to my friends who's a Titans fan about him, it's more just concerned that he'll see the field again. They're worried that Hopkins and Akeem Burks can't stay healthy, and that he'll be forced back onto the field. I think he's solid in that wide receiver three role, but you know, when he's starting to, when guys go down and you put him out there as the wide receiver one, that offense is stagnant.
I always thought he was solid. I'll tell you another guy who I'm just a fan of because I love the name. I can't not love Racy McMath. mean, that's one of the greatest names in the history, not just sports. It's one of the greatest names. I feel like he's in the wrong profession, but Racy McMath. That doesn't sound like a real name. That sounds like something you just made up to to poke at somebody. Week three NFL preseason. What are you looking for outside of the Titans? Whatever. Give me a game that you're really locked in on.
I'm looking at the Dolphins Jaguars as a game. I'm pretty interested. It's kind of at this point it's a dress rehearsal for most teams for the regular season. And these two teams, I think they're in a very similar position in the AFC in terms of where they're going to end up with wins. So I'm excited to see how these two teams look.
I hope it's a dress rehearsal.
What?
I said, I hope it's a dress rehearsal.
Yeah,
it's very disappointing for those of us who say, you know what, I'm going to sit down and watch the Falcons game, right?
Yeah.
And then you turn it on and like, it's bad enough that they're not starting anywhere close to anyone who's going to start on the field ever.
Yeah.
But then the Steelers have their entire starting squad, and they're just running through them like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. And it makes preseason pretty hard to watch.
That the Dolphins aren't starting their starters because the Jaguars are a 6.5-point favorite.
Mm.
And what I've noticed is if one side is starting their starters and the other side isn't, you get about a touchdown difference in the point spread.
Mm. I'll probably cover that.
Possibly. It's just, to me, it's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm with you. It makes preseason hard to watch. If there was like one kind of universal method that all the teams followed when it comes to when they play the starters, then it'd be more entertaining. And especially week three, more people would watch it. But it's hard to get into it.
What is going on with your Arizona Cardinals? Is it still the Colt McCoy show?
I think it'll probably be the Colt McCoy show, but he has a very short leash, I imagine, because they just traded for Josh Dobbs. So if he really looks bad, which I think he will, I think they won't waste much time putting Josh Dobbs.
Keep your hands off Josh Dobbs. He's our guy, man. You leave him alone.
Hey, man, he's with us now. He's with us. We have a fifth-round pick for him, so
we're going to have our side. I thought he was solid. I would have rather.
He looked good. He you know, I won't say he looked good, but he impressed me for the hand he was dealt.
I would have rather held on to him and kicked Malik Willis to the side, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you on that. I think Dobbs is a much more reliable backup. Obviously, they're keeping Willis because they think he has potential to develop into something. But as just purely for next year as a backup quarterback, I'd rather have Dobbs.
Is that the fifth rounder, is that for 2024?
Yeah, it's next year's.
I mean, that's actually a pretty good get for a guy who isn't projected as a starter.
Yeah, honestly. Because they already have a ton of quarterbacks on the depth chart. I mean, they cut someone. I forget who. But, I mean, obviously they got Watson.
All I needed to know last night when I sat down to watch the Falcons game, about midway through the game, here come Logan Woodside. I was like, that's it! This is a waste of my time.
So that's the name you didn't want to hear again.
On the Eagles. What a dumpster fire, man. Logan Woodside. He looks like a punter who's like trying to run a fake punt every single time.
He has a punter name, too.
He just
said his name to me. I would believe he's a punter.
That's why, like, some of these guys you'll see and you're kind of forgetting, where do I know him from? No, you know exactly where you know Logan Woodside from.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to sell you that bill of goods for I don't know how long.
Titans QB3 for forever.
I think if there's one preseason game, I'm surprised you didn't say Arizona. Then I'm more interested than most in.
Yeah.
But this is once again, are the starters starting? If the starters are starting, I'm really interested in that Bills Bears game.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not being televised live, so I don't know how the hell I would get it. I did just sign up for the NFL package. Just stick a knife in me. But, yeah, I got I signed up for the NFL package along with the Red Zone. So that's it. There goes my Sundays. That's what I'll be doing. For folks who were wondering about that, because before they were wanting one lump sum, you can now you will get the discount I saw. You'll get $50 off, and they will let you break it up for individual payments.
Mm-hmm.
Before, that's not what I was seeing. I don't know if that was actually a thing, but before, that's not what I was seeing. What I was seeing was you do have to pay the first one up, you know, immediately, but if you pay for it, you get all four payments broken up, you know, by each month, et cetera, instead of having to chuck out $350 or whatever the hell it is for the entire thing. But I haven't had the NFL package in several years, so I'm like, you know what, screw it, let's go. And we are going to be doing games in November and December, so it'll be worth it in the end, I guess. But if that is not, now here's the problem. I heard Aaron Rodgers wants to play, but the Giants are a 6-point favorite against the Jets on Saturday night. So that makes me think he's not playing. But if the starters are playing, even like two quarters, Giants, Jets, NFL Network, Saturday night, that's interesting to me.
Okay. That spread's pretty telling, though. Maybe they send Rodgers out there. I don't think they'd send him out there with the backups, though.
He said that he wanted to play, and get a custom. And then that's where it was left, and I never heard of, like, a follow-up to that. So,
well, I think that would make sense. I think that'd be smart for the Jets. Maybe not full two quarters, but get him out there for a quarter, maybe.
Get him out there. Their first game is against Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better get it going, man. You can't just Buffalo on Monday night, 9/11. How the NFL screwed this up, I'll never know. Why Jets and Giants aren't playing on Monday night 9/11, I'll never understand. Mm. They're playing later in the year.
Mm.
Absolute just stupidity. But they're playing Buffalo week one.
Mm-hmm.
You better get all the kinks worked out.
Yeah.
Which means if Aaron Rodgers is out there, everybody needs to be out there playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got two.
And that's what they should do, I think. Maybe not for a full two quarters, like you said, but get them out there for a few series, maybe one quarter. I don't know.
If I were running the show, I would do what they used to always do with the last one. Two quarters in the first series and the third quarter. So you get accustomed to what it feels like coming out of the locker room, you know, after you've cooled down and you warm back up, all that kind of stuff. But he's going to find out what it is to be the Jets quarterback Tuesday, September 12th. That morning when he's answering questions of why the Jets lost by 30 on Monday Night Football, right? It's going to be like, oh, God, what have I done? I miss Green Bay.
Gosh, he's going to love the New York media, I'm sure.
Exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tones will be joining us. Hey, real quick, go ahead and give me your picks. I meant to grab those.
My picks for what? For the draft?
The college landscape draft that I emailed you.
Okay. How many am I picking?
Two.
Two? Let's see.
Did you get the email?
I did. I didn't see how many teams it was. I was looking for that. I know I have a bunch of teams written down, but I didn't see how many teams I was picking, so I just have to
pick. Right now you're going into this with 13.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that how many teams you have?
Two more. Okay, yeah, so I got two more. So Western Kentucky
You're picking two today. It'll get you to 15. You'll have one on next Friday.
Okay. Get you 16. Today I'll take Western Kentucky and...
Oh, wow.
I mean, they're one of the top teams in the Conference USA usually. I know I imagine that counts for less points, but they're usually the top dogs of the conference. And then I'll go Kansas because they turned some heads last year.
I mean, if you were going to go that route, I'm a little surprised you didn't go MTSU. But
nah, not that. Like, come on.
Really?
I'm not a complete homer. Maybe I'll pick that with my last pick just to have a little fun with it.
I mean, come on.
I don't think I'll have much competition for MTSU. I think I can wait till the last pick to get them.
I would probably be the only one, but if you want him and you tell me you want him now, I'll leave him for you.
I'll take him. I'll take him with that last pick just for fun.
All right. I will leave him for you. As long as one of the other jacklegs don't say it. Thankfully,
yeah, I don't know who's watching this. They might, because
Doug would hear it and just draft him. You know, I'm going to screw him. I'm going to build my entire conference around him. All right, let's take that quick break. When we come back, Tones is on the way, jumping out of the bullpen. He's got his pick to make. We're going to be talking the Georgia Bulldogs when we come back. Cool games. Atlanta Falcons on the way. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Major League Baseball, the full slate, Friday night. The big one, 10:15 Eastern, will have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves. Atlanta Braves are traveling to the West Coast and will be there for the next 10 days. It's Spencer Strider versus Logan Webb tonight, a rematch of last Saturday. Strider comes in 14-4. With a 3.57 ERA. Logan Webb, 9-9 with a 3.36. Braves are -160 on the money line. The over-under is 7.5. Other games around the league of note. Astros are at the Tigers at 6:40. Framber Valdez on the bump. Yankees are at the Rays. Gerrit Cole versus Zach Eflin. Marlins host the Nats. Miami -220 on the money line. Braxton Garrett on the bump. Over-under 8.5. Rockies are at the Orioles at 7:05, Freeland versus Irvin. Cardinals are at the Phillies, 7:05, Sanchez and Mikolas. Cubs are at the Pirates, Kyle Hendricks versus Mitch Keller. And the Blue Jays host the Guardians, 7:07 first pitch. Dodgers are at the Red Sox. That is your Apple TV Plus game tonight. Lance Lynn versus Cutter Crawford. Padres at the Brewers, 8:10. Yu Darvish versus Brandon Woodruff. The Rangers and the Twins, second game of a four-game set. Dunning versus Gray. Minnesota, -115 on the money line. Over-under is 8.5. Reds are at the Diamondbacks, 9:40. Hunter Green versus Brandon Fatt. Mariners host the Royals. That is your second Apple TV Plus game. Brady Singer versus Miller. Seattle, -190 on the money line. Over-under is 8. Friday night preseason in the National Football League. On CBS, it's Lions and Panthers. That game is 8 o'clock Eastern. Carolina, -4.5. Over-under 37. Patriots are at the Titans, 8:15. NFL Network will have that game. Tennessee, -1.5. Over-under is 38. And at 10 o'clock, the late game on the NFL Network, Chargers are at the 49ers. San Fran, -7.5, over under 38. Games in the NFL on Saturday as they wind down the last week of preseason action. Bills are at the Bears, Seattle at the Packers, Browns at Chiefs, Cardinals at Vikings. All three of those games are at 1 Eastern. Jets and Giants are on the NFL Network tomorrow night at 6. And at 9 o'clock, second part of that double dip, Rams at the Broncos. Sunday night football this week, Texans are at the New Orleans Saints. College football begins this Saturday with a light slate in what they are calling Week 0. Here are the lines out in Vegas for that action. It all gets going 2:30 Eastern on NBC. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, number 13 in the land, taking on Navy. Notre Dame, -20.5, over-under is 50. At 8 p.m. Eastern on the Pac-12 Network, number 6 USC versus San Jose State. Trojans, 31-point favorites, over-under 66.5. At 5:30 Eastern on CBS Sports Network, UTEP versus Jacksonville State. It's a pick'em, over-under is 53. And UMass is at New Mexico State on ESPN, -6.5. New Mexico State over under is 45. On FS1, Ohio versus San Diego State, the Aztecs, 2-point favorites, over under is 49. And on the SEC Network at 7:30 from the Southeastern Conference, you got the Vanderbilt Commodores hosting Hawaii. Vandy, -17.5. The over-under is 55.5. 9 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sports Network, FIU versus Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech, -11. Over-under is 58.5. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every 5 purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
If I could change anything about basketball, it'd be to get rid of the X Games.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE. Come on! Welcoming onto the show is Mr. Tampa Tones. Tones, how the hell are you?
I'm great, brother. It's a Friday, and we're in a great time here for sports fans all over, so it's really fantastic, and it's going to be an incredible weekend, and starting this week, I got a lot of fantasy drafts on the schedule, so add that into the mix as well. I can't wait.
Wait till next year when your butts are here. It's next weekend for the fantasy event. Tones and Joey are gonna come down for the in-person draft.
I can't wait already, man. That's gonna be a great time. It's been long overdue meeting many of you gentlemen in person. I can't wait. It's gonna be a great time.
We need to see if we can figure out a way to get Bobby down here too, so nobody's on a Zoom call. Right, so we can actually do this for realsies.
Is Carr is he in the league?
What's that?
Is Carr in the league?
Carr is in the league this year. Yeah, let me pull it up.
Real quick. Zoom.
He's only doing. I think that's the only one that he's doing, other than this. We're in a league together from like, God bless, 20 years ago. I think I started that league. I don't even run it. Well, I'm the commissioner. I do all the heavy lifting, but I don't even. Collect the money. It's another guy who does that. I want to say that. See the old school league. Y'all gonna love this. You gotta love Doug, and his old man doesn't understand technology. He sends me a frantic text the other day. I hope he's listening to the show. Man, I got an alert from Yahoo that says that you have not set a time for the old school draft. Blah 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 blah. I was like. I started laughing. I said, Doug, it's offline. So Yahoo, though they know it's offline, they're still going to give you a thing that says, hey, set a time for it. But you can't really set a time because you're going to enter it all offline. He goes, oh. It looked like it was this big stress. I felt like his chest tightening up. And I'm going to have to call the EMT. See, yes, Carr is in the old school league.
Nice.
Hopefully you don't have to draft for him this year.
I hope not.
And we have 10 people in that league this year.
So I remember, I think I ended up beating him in the playoffs, and I drafted his team for him. So that worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah, we're not doing that this year. This year, if he doesn't show up, if he gets all slobber knocked, then he's just going to get auto-drafted. I don't know how we do that. Or we'll just grab the next available dude. Boom, boom, boom. Because it's really, it's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to you either, you know, because you're having to. I hate drafting for other people. If I'm in the draft too, it's terrible. It's terrible. Because you're like,
oh. I didn't give them the guys that were at the top of the board. I won't lie. I gave them second place.
But. We'll just vote on it. All right. Who thinks it's time for Carr to get another kicker?
I think a defense this time around.
Yeah. And Tones, it wasn't like this guy was in the hospital or had something emergency. He just got slobber knocked, too drunk, and forgot that he was in the league.
That'll happen. It shouldn't happen, but that will happen.
Does it really happen? Never happened to me. I'm never going, nope. Wait, what? I can remember texting. He's like, no, that's tomorrow. Like, that is a different draft. Oh, I'm in this league too. We had like a 30-minute conversation like 10 days before. Anyways, we move on. By the way, if you've got Mike Trout in your fantasy baseball league, they finally put him on the IL so you can move accordingly.
Thank you. I'm about to. I just brought him off the IL.
Yeah, so I put him on the IL when it was first announced immediately. And so I stuck him in the IL slot. And then shortly after that, they took the IL designation off of him. Because somebody jumped the gun at Yahoo and didn't realize he had not been officially put on the IL. So if you had him on the IL, he was just stuck there, but you couldn't make any moves. And so I'm sitting here looking at this, waiting. And I'm like, son of a gun, they're off. Because there's a move I've been wanting to make. I can finally say what it is now. Because I knew Ozuna was out there. I went and grabbed Marcell Ozuna. Dude, that guy's been scorching hot. And he's going to play. So our playoffs in a week from Sunday, right? He is going to play in San Francisco for three, which is a hitter's park. He's going to play in Colorado for three. And then there's going to be four games against the Dodgers. And though the Dodgers have good pitching, he's still going to play 10 games in the next 10 days. So I was like, God, dog, I've been waiting to grab him. I was like, let's go. Let's freaking go. And I've been refreshing the page to wait for Mike Trout to come off the IL. They finally put him on there. By the way, if you have Pepio, the Dodgers put him on the NA list. They sent him back down. Did you catch him, by the way, the other night when he pitched?
Yeah, I thought he looked good.
He looked damn good. What are they doing sending him back down?
Especially, you know, when Dodgers could always use pitching this time of year, it seems. They got Dustin May banged up a little bit and whatnot. I'm not quite sure why they would send him back down.
I guess they're gonna skip him the next time through the rotation and then probably bring him up in the September call-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Braves play the Dodgers right after the September call-ups, so we're probably gonna see this dude. For y'all, for those of y'all who have not seen this Pepio kid, he throws hard from the right-hand side of the plate. He's a big kid too. I've been meaning to look up his stats. He is, they say 6'3", 215. I'm telling you, that kid was 6'6". He was 6'6", 240, just like pitching down from a skyscraper. I couldn't understand why he didn't start the game. They use him as a bulk relief. He ended up getting the win, but I was kind of ticked off. I was like, dude, this kid probably could have freaking went out there and gone six innings. Anyways, Pepio to the NA, and Mike Trout is officially on the IL. So you have that. All right, let's get into the Georgia Bulldogs. Who wants to take the wheel on this?
I'll go ahead and start with some of my notes. I'll go ahead and get started. Carson Beck, he got named as a starting quarterback. Good weapons on offense. Brock Bowers post.
I didn't Say that again. Start over. I didn't hear you.
Carson Beck got named as a starting quarterback not long ago. I think that was a few days ago. So there's some clarity on that situation at quarterback. But when it comes to their weapons, they're going to be loaded, especially at wide receiver and tight end. They made some big additions in the transfer portal. That wide receiver, Brock Bowers, obviously going to be the best tight end in college football. Could have Kyle Pitts-like numbers next year. And defense, it'll always be good at Georgia. We know that. There's no question about that. I don't think their defense will look nearly as invincible as it has in the past. They've lost a ton of talent back there. Still will be one of the best defenses, if not the best in the country.
We do want to put a disclaimer. Bobby is a Florida Gator fan, so take everything he says as a grain of salt. All right, go ahead.
Whatever.
Do you think are you telling me to continue,
or do you want Tones to take it away?
Well, Tones, what you got on the Georgia Bulldogs?
I mean, what's not to say about them? I think they're about to have another incredible year. I will say, in due part of their schedule, I think their schedule's fairly easy. For being a team like Georgia, you'd want them to beef it up a little more. When you look at their schedule, what are the real big threats? Versus Ole Miss, not till November 11th. At Tennessee, not till November 18th. I mean, they got a cakewalk pretty much the first 9 to 10 games of the year. So toughest bout will be versus Florida or at Auburn, most likely. And, you know, non-taken, Bobby, I don't think, you know, you should have harder when you're a team like Georgia is what I'm saying. I think you should do what some of the other big-time schools do. You see Ohio State put themselves in the thick of things, USC, Notre Dame, some other big-time programs throw themselves in the fire right away. I mean, even Penn State, they don't start off against a great program, but West Virginia is a lot better than UT Martin. If you're Georgia, why don't you get at least a mid-major program? And then they got Ball State. You know, to me, Georgia is primed for another big year. I think they got a lot of talent back, both offensively and defensively. Although, as Bobby said, they got a brand new quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Georgia. But I think by default, just on their schedule alone, they're primed for another playoff appearance.
Yeah.
To be fair, Auburn is normally better.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina, I think, is going to be better than a lot of folks think.
Yep.
I still think Georgia wins, but that's their first big test, September 16th. Auburn is normally a better program. They go to Auburn. Now, it's not Georgia's fault that Auburn is in a complete rebuild.
Yeah.
Kentucky normally plays Georgia very physical, normally some very good ball games. I don't know what we'll get on October 7th. But I do know that there's been a couple of games where Kentucky's really played him physical. Granted, the Vanderbilt game, I mean, it's Vanderbilt. There's not a lot you can do. They're in the SEC. Same thing with Missouri. Yep. But that gauntlet, I have no idea what Florida's going to be like. We did their breakdown a few weeks ago, and we saw that the over-under is 5.5 wins. But that doesn't mean a hill of beans in that particular game. It hasn't been that long ago that I remember Georgia was one of the dominant teams in the country. And this is the Muschamp era. And they couldn't stop Florida from running. Literally, they were running up the gut. And they could not stop them. So I don't expect that this year, but you never know. Ole Miss is going to be a tough game. Tennessee is going to be a tough. I think their biggest hurdle is going to be starting with the Florida game, just because of the rivalry aspect. Do they overlook Missouri heading into Mississippi, and when after the Mississippi game, do they still have enough in the tank? Are they healthy, et cetera, when they go into Knoxville November 18th? It's really strange that they're playing Tennessee in November and Auburn in September. It's usually reversed.
I could see a situation where, you know, that Georgia-Tennessee game late in the season means a lot more to Tennessee than it does to Georgia. I could very well see Georgia being 10-0 at that point and Tennessee be clinging on to hope for a playoff spot in a must-win game. So that's a possibility. And you know, when Georgia doesn't have anything on the line, especially playing Georgia Tech in Week 12, That's a game that could be.
We do have a celebrity in the chat. Olivia evidently is a Florida State fan. So yeah, go Noles, baby. Go Noles, baby. Which has nothing to do with Georgia football, but it's also interesting too. If Georgia Tech's a little better, that Georgia-Tennessee game, you know it's going to take a lot out of them, right?
Yeah.
What if they go into Atlanta the next week and just – I'm just saying there's a lot of motions built on from October 28th, and Georgia's the best team in the country right now, talent-wise, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that doesn't always mean everything in sport. We know that. Florida, Missouri – who they struggled with last year. Now, granted, it was in Missouri, but that was a close game. That was a night game, and they, I mean that game came down to the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
Florida, Missouri, Mississippi, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and then are you smelling yourself, or are you down in the dumps because you lost one of these? And Georgia Tech gives you a better game than they should have, but yeah, the front half of their schedule. The only stumbling block I really see is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, South Carolina, as you said, should be better than what people think. I mean, Rattler had them playing pretty good football to end the year last year. I will say this, obviously, nothing against Stetson Bennett. He was playing some great football. But is it weird to think that possibly, you know, their offense could get more potent under Carson Beck with some experience underneath his feet? I mean,
don't you blaspheme Stetson Bennett, baby. He knocked off the undefeated Ravens. He ended their win streak.
Yeah.
In 2015.
That was historic, right? It's like they geared up for that game. Like it was their first big game.
That's
and
the
what,
first right? time. And I don't know how long that I actually got into a preseason game.
Yeah, it was fun.
I think this feels like it's got a real atmosphere. I think it was everyone was happy that Daniel Snyder was no longer part of the Reds. What the hell are they called now? Commanders.
Did you see the Commanders' new owner awkwardly mistake the handshake too with Joe Buck?
No, I missed that. What did he do?
They were in the broadcast booth. The Commander's new owner was, and they were talking him up, introducing him to the football world pretty much. And Joe Buck was just doing a movement with his hands like this. And the Commander's owner, like, thought he went to shake his hand. So he shook Joe Buck's hand, and Aikman's just sitting there like, looking around like, what's going on here? And then, well, that sums up the new ownership already.
Which owner was it? Because isn't it like a collective group that
I'm drawing a blank on his name, but this is the guy who owns part of the Sixers as well. Mm-hmm. I'll pull it up.
Okay. No, I miss it. That I'm assuming
Josh Harris.
What's that?
Josh Harris.
Oh, okay.
He's a lead owner. It's part of the ownership group. He's a lead.
Okay. He's the one that everybody keeps referencing.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. There's actually a video of it. Let me see what this is.
It's pretty funny.
All right. I'm going to have to check this out. Someone actually made a video of it. So, of course, I got to sit through 35 ads before it gets to it. So, with that being said, Georgia, here's the big thing. If you're going to go to Vegas or bet from your own home with a VPN or however you want to do it, the over-under win total for the Georgia Bulldogs this year is 11.5. Meaning they've got to go undefeated for you to win your bet.
Yeah.
Would you bet a significant amount, whatever is significant to you, that they're going to go 12-0 once again?
No.
Is that factored in with the playoff wins?
No. It's just regular season.
Okay, because I know college counts bowl wins towards the team's win-loss total at the end of the year.
No. Anytime that you bet the over-under win total in Vegas, it's got nothing to do with postseason. It's only the 12 games that are scheduled.
I knew that for the I know that for NFL, but last year when I made college, bowl games did count towards that. So interesting.
Maybe there's a site that does do it. I'm not arguing that fact, but typically when you're talking about the Vegas odds and in the lines for how many the over under, we're not factoring in bowl games.
Mm-hmm. Bowl. I agree.
You don't even factor in. Conference championship games. Yeah, it's literally just the 12 on the – because there'll actually be a disclaimer that says the 12 that are scheduled, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Just that's interesting, too, because, you know, the standings count all their games as well. So interesting how Vegas doesn't. But when you look at their standings online, it all calculates in the playoff wins and the bowl game wins. Like TCU, 13-2 last year.
I will say this. I don't know what Buck was saying, but he did put his hand out like this, right next to the guy. And the guy was just kind of like, all right. So I don't know if that's really on him or if that's on Joe Buck. Because who the hell stands next to someone and sticks their hand out like that? They don't expect to get a shake or a slap or a elbow. All right.
I agree with you, though. I mean, he did – Buck put himself in that spot, right? If Buck doesn't put his hand out like that.
I don't know what he said, though. I don't know what he said. Like, did he – like, did you hear the comment? Because if he said something like, and, you know, you got to put it right there when you're talking about the Washington football team. The guy's like, yeah. I mean, I'm just curious what he said. If he said something that had nothing to do with, you know, something like, you know, I really need to use the restroom right now, then, you know, you don't shake the guy's hand. But if you're going to shake his hand, shake it now. Don't shake it later.
Yeah, for real. Shake it before the restroom, not after. But to circle back, no.
Olivia's got me wanting to talk about the Noles, man. She's in the chat with the Noles. Let's go, baby. We're 9 days away from FSU LSU. Who gives a damn about UT Martin? What a blow up that's going to be.
She Olivia, great lady, actually, my lady. So awesome that she's chatting with us.
Should be a law against UT Martin playing in the Georgia Bulldogs, man. That's going to be bloodshed.
Oh,
that's your Olivia in the chat?
Yep, she's a fan of the show, so trying to get her involved a little bit more here.
Cool.
Nice.
Is she actually a Florida State fan, or is she just joking
around? She does like him. She has him. We're in this 8-team win pool that involves both college and NFL. You got to pick 8 football teams total, and she picked Florida State as one of her 8, so she'll be a big fan this year, that's for sure. But she does like him.
What does that mean? Like you combine the wins for all your teams or something?
Yes, and there's parameters, though. Like, you can only pick one top 5-ranked college team heading into the season, one top 15-ranked college team heading into the season, and 2 NFL playoff teams from last season.
So you could pick, in theory, 2 teams that are essentially in the top 15, as long as, but one of them has to be in the top 5, or just
no, it doesn't have to be in the top 5. But, like, you know, a lot of people pick Georgia or Bama or Michigan to the world.
Now,
so
if you take a team, can someone else have the team, or is it?
Yes. Okay. That's where it gets even a little trickier, because if you take all the big shots, you know, it's someone might end up tied with you, so you got to roll the dice a little bit.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, you know, one of my teams, for instance, I took Liberty, because Liberty might get 10, 11 wins, but, you know, who's going to think of Liberty as getting that many wins?
You think that's crazy, but Bobby took Western Kentucky in his conference realignment draft.
You've seen Bailey Zappi highlights from the Packers.
Joey was on the show with me. I was like, Western Kentucky, where the hell did that come from? Louisville, Western Kentucky. I'm really building up.
Yeah, I didn't pick Louisville or Utah really. I didn't. This is a late pick, at least my second to last pick. Just throwing something out there.
Fair enough. Yeah. Tones, by the way, what are your picks going to be? You got 2, right?
All right, fellas. Well, there's still good talent left. I'm trying to lope the West Coast with the Central. You know, I'm trying to realize the Big Ten talking into existence like they are. So I'm going to hang out West Coast. Give me Oregon State. I know they haven't been historically great, but they are top 25 coming into this year. They've had a couple of good seasons within the past handful of years. They went 7-6 in 2021.
Well, plus, who doesn't want to yell out "Go Beavers," right?
Right, and I got my two front teeth replicate a beaver, so I got to stay with my boys there, and I got to be beaver proud here. So they haven't been consistently good since the Steven Jackson days. I think they look to get back there. And then this is a Bobby type pick. This might break the bank on Western Kentucky, but they do follow the West Coast spectrum of things, and they've been consistently good of late, surprisingly. Give me the Armed Forces of Air Force. Let's okay. go. They're projected 10 wins this year, over-unders at 10, I should say. In three of the past four seasons, they've had at least 10 wins, and they represent America.
You're going to have some long road trips for Penn State in this conference, man.
You're telling me, but hey, again, I'm trying to be real, right? I mean, what do we got now? Oregon head into the Big Ten, UCLA head into the Big Ten. So I'm trying to reshift my Big Ten, you know?
All right, and last couple of days, Joey and I got sidetracked, forgot to put it on the air, but we text. Anyways, long story short, to add to mine, I have a Tulane, I think already announced that one, in Houston and West Virginia. So I'm trying to keep it as hillbilly central as possible. Like, we're trying to build within. I'm trying to get some good moonshine going, you know. I want a conference where Oliver Anthony's going to want to come sing some songs for the pregame at some of these. So West Virginia seemed like a perfect one. Because now I've got Virginia Tech, and West Virginia all in the same right there. And I got Houston and Texas A&M together.
Mm.
Auburn, Alabama. Sorry, Tulane, you're just sitting out there by yourself. But
yeah, everyone has that one that's kind of out there, I feel like.
Oregon.
I'm trying to avoid that. Like, I have a little Texas, Oklahoma bubble. I have a little West Coast bubble. Then I get a Central bubble. I was tempted to take Central Florida, but they would have just been, you know, chilling.
Chilling. Plus, chilling. You don't want to go to the meetings and have to hear about all their national championships, right? Would you stop it? You were 4-6 in the conference this year. Stop it with the national championship. Bobby, what is your walk-off?
And you I walk off. Enjoy the cool start game. Of college football starting up soon. Enjoy the NFL right around the corner as well. Football's finally back, and I'm happy.
Do you have a cool game for the weekend, or you want to put a pin in it until next week?
I'll be paying attention to the preseason games, of course. Dolphins-Jags is one I'm excited for if the starters get some run. Like you said, Jets-Giants, if the starters go, that'll be exciting. So, yeah, just a few preseason games. If I see that the starters are in, I might check it out.
All right, when we come back, Bobby, we'll see you next Friday. When we come back, Tones and I will give you our cool games, and we're going to get into the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know, what is their battle? I mean, I know they say rise up, but, like, what is the sound you would make? It's like, caw-caw, caw-caw!
Yeah, I think it goes, caw-caw!
I'll try to work on that during the break. We'll be back in a flash.
Work is work. You don't show up late, you don't make excuses, and you don't not work. If it wasn't work, they wouldn't call it work. They call it super wonderful crazy fun time. Or skippity-doo.
It all starts with just one thing. Get to know your local beekeeper. You can make sure they don't use chemicals in the hive, that they only sell surplus honey, plus locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The Armchair Quarterbacks are covering America's pastime from spring training all the way to the fall classic.
5-2 Dodgers in the ninth. Got him. They've done it. like the 1969 Mets. It's the impossible dream revisited.
And Meyer's bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air. Foul, off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it. It's a base hit. It's a 1-0 10-inning victory.
Belt, left field, way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a 3-run home run in the 9th inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Armchair.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Forget it, Donnie. You're out of your element.
Yeah.
I am the walrus.
Shut the f***, Donnie.
Near the In-N-Out Burger.
Those are good burgers, Walter.
Shut the f***, Donnie.
Who's in pajamas, Walter?
Shut the f***, Donnie.
TGI Friday, baby! It must be me, it must be Tones here on Braves Country. As we are, Tones, can you believe it? We're less than 24 hours from some form of college football being played. Could they
Man,
not have
I
given
can't
us,
wait.
I mean, could they not have given us one marquee game tomorrow? Just one.
Right? I mean, it's not hard to do because it's not like you could see their reasoning if they have, like, no top teams playing, right? But Notre Dame's playing, USC's playing, so.
It's just, it seems uncivilized. That's where I'm going with this. It just feels like that if you're going to call it week zero, and I guess I'm really leaning on, I'm trying to think of what year that was. I think it was 2019. It might have been 2018. It's whatever year Andrew Luck retired, right? So you might know that a little better than I do. But Florida and Miami started off week zero, and it was something new. And it's the first time I ever heard the term week zero. And it was Florida, Miami. There might have been a couple other Bobo games, but that was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a night game. It was like on ESPN or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember during that game, the reason why I know, during that game, Andrew Luck announcement came rifling out of the Twitterverse. Because we were in the middle of watching that game, and all of a sudden it started scrolling across the bottom line. Andrew Luck's retiring. Like, wait, what? It was a very traumatic night because had all that going on, and then I lost a very good friend of mine, ended up having an aneurysm earlier that morning, and then we lost him, a contributor on the Armchair Quarterbacks. But I just remember going, you know, after you get through all the other stuff, thinking to myself about that Florida-Miami game. I was like, well, this would be cool if this became a yearly thing. Not necessarily those two teams playing every year, but something to get us going. It makes me wish that Florida State LSU was tomorrow. Don't play it on that Sunday night. Give us it on week zero. But if you're not going to do that one, that was probably a little too big time for them to put it on week zero. But there's a handful of games that are being played next week that they could have easily put on tomorrow night.
If you could pick one of the games out of USC, San Jose State, Navy, Notre Dame, and Hawaii, Vanderbilt, which one are you rocking with?
Probably going to watch MLB Big Inning. So the Braves are playing at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll obviously be locked into that because we're doing the game, but okay, the one that I has the most interest in, because I want to see what the field looks like, is the Navy Notre Dame game. Just because Notre Dame playing in Ireland, that's kind of cool. But it's not going to be a close game. That's the problem, right? So, but I still want to watch this over any preseason football, because the preseason football is really starting to tick me off as a fan. We were talking about this earlier, Tones. Sat down last night, was excited to watch a little Falcon football, see what's going on, and nobody played. And then to make it worse, the Steelers started all their starters, and they just ran through them like a hot knife through butter for the first half, and then the second half was nothing. I mean, they might as well have been playing rugby out there with just a scrum, no one doing anything. But if I have one game outside of that one, so let's do it this way. Let's talk about the fact that the game's tomorrow after the Braves game goes off, the night game, right? What's the best night matchup? I guess it's Hawaii-Vanderbilt because I want to see Vanderbilt is 17.5-point favorite. I think they took a step in the right direction last year. I just want to see, can Vanderbilt build off of that? Mm-hmm. Or are they going to struggle against Hawaii, who's supposed to be terrible? What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. If I had to pick one game from the slate tomorrow, I think I'm in the same thinking with you. I think it is that Vanderbilt-Hawaii game, only because I want to see, as you said, if Vanderbilt could take a step up in the SEC in the right direction, or if Hawaii could actually keep it close and return to their old roots. I will tell you one thing, McGee. I'm going to keep close eyes on Florida International, Louisiana Tech. My good buddy is the outside linebackers coach for Florida International, Anthony Gator, former Buccaneers defensive back. He's a friend of the podcast, Bucketeers. So I'll be interested to see how he does. He keeps getting promoted every year, former CFL Grey Cup champion as well. I'll be tuned in. That one's at 9 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sportsnet, Florida International, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I noticed that CBS Sports Network has a doubleheader of conference games. Conference USA, UTEP versus Jacksonville State at 5:30, which is probably the best matchup of the day. If you go by the point spread in Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. I could care less about those two teams. Honestly, I've probably watched more UTEP basketball last year because I was riding a heater, and I'd found UTEP. They were good to take the points with a couple of days in a row. But the San Diego State Ohio game, that's a little, but once again, these just aren't household names.
Mm-mm.
I do want to see this. I want to see USC roast San Jose State. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking, so they're a 31-point favorite. I'm talking about 66-7, right? And the reason being, if you can get USC on a roll, the lines in Vegas will get super inflated, mm-hmm. and going into week two, week three, et cetera, et cetera. You'll be able to jump on the back end and grab the underdogs against USC. So that's a more of a betting angle of it.
Yes.
It could be as early as the following week when they're at home against Nevada. What's the spread on there when they're at home against Stanford? More like, what's it going to look like when they go to Notre Dame in October? And if Notre Dame has a solid team, but USC's on a roll, because I'm still not convinced that they fixed that defense.
Mm-mm.
Putting USC.
And I will say real quick, San Jose State, we talk about easy starts to the season. Their first two games are at USC and at Oregon State, or versus Oregon State, but regardless, woof.
Say that again.
San Jose State, their first two games of the year at USC and then home against Oregon State. And then, by the way, a couple weeks later, they're at Toledo, then at Air Force, then at Boise State.
So they're going to be playing right in the Tones Conference quite a bit.
Yeah, hey, bring him in. Bring him in.
Sign him up.
Let's ride,
we'll,
baby.
We'll mash their ass. Let's go. Let's go ahead and get into the Atlanta Falcons 2023 doing their mini camp to we're putting a final cap on all these mini camps. For those of y'all who have been here for all of them, well, you're doing the Lord's work keeping up with all these. All right, let's get into it.
Not over yet, Ben!
All right, what you got for the 2023 Atlanta Falcons, sir?
Improvement and consistency. I see a football team that shows improvement week in and week out there and more consistency. They honestly played a lot better than I thought they did last season, especially with nothing against him, Marcus Mariota, who, by the way, might not even make the Eagles roster at this point, it sounds like. But I think they played a lot.
What about that last night? He played one series and they ixnayed him.
Yeah, I think he's in trouble. They like that McKee kid out of Stanford a couple years ago. So I think Atlanta's got to be grateful that he's
out.
Did
you hear them talking about – it was Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit referencing the Netflix show that, you know, quarterback that Mariota was a part of? Did you hear that little conversation?
I believe so, yes. I mean, they were –
So the short of it is they were saying that if you watch that and you watch it till the end, a lot of people have said this, I couldn't make it to the end. To me, it was incredibly boring. But it shows at the end where Marcus Mariota was just checked out. And could this have something to do with why Sirianni and, you know, the entire Eagles organization, are they just looking at it going, do we want this guy on our team? I don't know.
And it could very much so have something to do with it, right? I mean, why wouldn't it? And that's the thing. Who knew it could end up hurting him? But, yeah, if he looked checked out in Atlanta, why would Philly want him as he was fighting for a playoff spot last year? But I think Falcons fans are lucky. I think Taylor Heinicke at this point is an upgrade to Marcus Mariota for a backup's perspective at least. And Desmond Ridder, we'll see if they have their QB of the future this year. It's going to be a big year. They might have the best collective all-around backfield in the NFC South. They got rookie Bijan Robinson, who was a generational talent, according to a lot of draft scouts. They got 1,000-yard rusher last season as a rookie, Tyler Allgeier coming back. Then they got Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been incredible the past handful of seasons. Really strong running back room there. Wide receivers look pretty good and improved as well. Drake London's going into year two. Then they brought in free agents Mac Hollins, Scotty Miller, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. It should be a really fun wide receiver room for Desmond Ridder. Maybe not the flashiest, but a lot of fun. Scotty Miller's going to go against the Bucks twice. You know he's going to want vengeance there. Mac Hollins broke onto the scene last year. Then their tight end room's really incredible as well. This offense is locked and loaded, and it might be led by the tight end room with Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith. They traded for Jonnu Smith this offseason from New England. So I think they did an incredible job adding talent around Desmond Ridder. And at the same time, they added a backup quarterback who's a clear-cut backup, but could be a very viable option if Desmond Ridder goes down or if he's just struggling. Taylor Heinicke could step in and keep this team in the playoff hunt because to me, McGee, it's going to be like last season where you really have the NFC South struggling and you really have every team in it to win it until the end, and that's what happened last year. You look at them defensively, they traded for Jeff Okuda, who was just a top five pick for the Detroit Lions a couple seasons ago.
Yeah. To me, that was a shocker.
Yeah, I think they got rid of him way too early, the Lions. I know he's a Patricia plant, but at the end of the day, I think that's really shocking that Dan Campbell would get rid of him. And then they added Jesse Bates too, right? One of the better free agents, safe and tender with the Bengals. Now he comes over to Atlanta. I think that was a tremendous signing. They have AJ Terrell on a rookie deal still. He's been incredible. Then they bring in a veteran like Bud Dupree to try and rush the passer. I think that's where they might be a little weak, is rushing the passer this year. If I had to pick a weakness for them, it's that. But they short up the inside. They short up the running game gaps. As they have Calais Campbell, free agent veteran, come in, they still have Grady Jarrett. And, oh, by the way, they have David Onyemata, to me, one of the better nose tackles in the league, probably the best outside of Vita Vea in the NFC South. This defense is going to be scary. If they have a problem, though, this year, McGee, it's going to be getting after the quarterback. Could a Bud Dupree provide that spark? Could a Arnold Ebikidi keep it up like he did in the past? So it'll be very interesting. And then something that can't be overlooked is their special teams unit. They have one of the better kickers in the game with Young Hui Koo, and they have one of the better return men in the game with Cordero Patterson. To me, where they're weak is going to be the punting position with Bradley Pinion. And punter could be pivotal in the NFC South this year. You're going to see a lot of good games. You're going to see a lot of close games. Like all these NFC South teams, a huge advantage for all of them, they play each other twice. They play the AFC South, and they play the NFC North. They probably play the three easiest divisions in football. And to me, that's why the Falcons will be in the hunt until the end. And to me, I know a lot of people are blowing smoke towards the Panthers and the Saints because the Saints made some moves. Panthers got a flashy first pick and coaching staff. But I really believe, no bias aside, when it's all said and done, it's going to be a two-team race between the Bucs and the Falcons when we're nearing week 17.
Well, are you just totally dismissing the Saints?
McGee, a lot of people overlook this fact, but I just cannot get behind Dennis Allen for whatever reason, whether he was in Oakland, whether it's New Orleans.
That part I do agree with. Because last year he kept running the Red Rocket out there, and I could not figure out it to save my life.
No Jameis out there last year. He looked better. Gadget Man Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, yeah. Always call him the utility knife, but yeah, yeah. Like, what the – I mean, so I'm with you on that. I'm not a fan at all of what Allen has done. It's really strange to me that he kept his job.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons, by the way, over under 8.5 wins is the total in Vegas. I think if they hit that over, they probably win the division, because I think this division is going to be a 9-8, 8-9 type win.
I really think, yeah, it's going to be 8 to 9 wins. I can't see less or more than that.
We'll do predictions on divisions next week and all that kind of the week after. I guess we're doing college next week. I keep mixing that up. But as far as the Falcons, do you have them over or under? What's their record?
And, McGee, I love their schedule, too. I alluded to that a little bit. I got them finishing, and it really revolves around Desmond Ridder to me. To me, if he takes that next step up, I see them hitting the over. If he doesn't, I don't see them hitting the over. I'll take him at 8 wins, so I guess I'll take the under by a half game. But, I mean, still, 8 wins is going to put him right in contention. I got them finishing with 8 wins right in contention for the division.
I got him at 9-8. Everything fell perfectly. 10 wins. They're not going to get more than that, just because I'm in full agreement. They're going to have an issue up front on the defensive side. And that's real. I think the Falcons are going to score.
Yes.
I think Desmond Ridder is going to be fine.
And if not, Heinicke's a great backup.
Right. So I think they're going to put. They're going to have so many weapons. All you're going to have to do to distribute, you're not going to have to do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, how many times are you going to have to score 40 to win a ball game, right? Mm-hmm. So the defense is going to have to take that next step for me to be a big believer. But I've got mm-hmm. them going 9-8, which is going to put them right there with the Bucs and the Saints the Panthers are in a complete rebuild, but the Bucs and the Saints, and I'm with you on the whole Dennis Allen thing. If we were going off of talent, if this was a video game and we were starting a tournament, I would take the Saints to win the division hands down. It wouldn't be close.
Yep.
But they are not played in on paper. They're not played in video games. They're played inside your radio. And I just, man, the Saints, I think there's a very good chance the Saints dropped that first game to Tennessee, and I don't think the Titans are all that outstanding this year.
And when you look at the Saints, too, Dennis Allen, 283 career win percentage, and then you look at Michael Thomas, how many games is he going to play? Alvin Kamara is going to be suspended.
Oh, I just saw the kiss of death on Yahoo, like I think it was last night or this morning. Michael Thomas is really starting to look good. He looks like his old self. I'm like, oh, here we go, man.
All I know is, like you said, Tennessee visits New Orleans week one. I would not be surprised at all to see Tennessee not only win that game, but win by at least seven.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game week one because two teams that probably won't put it. It's going to be a slobber knocker, but that's right in Mike Vrabel's wheelhouse.
And, McGee, it might not be a stretch. Just assume Bijan Robinson. I hate to assume things, but just assume he's as good as the hype. Falcons easily have the best backfield in the NFL at that point with a three-headed monster of Patterson, yeah, Algier.
If Bijan Robinson's even close to what he was in college, they've got the deepest backfield in football, and it's not particularly close.
And then they have a great tight end room. I know I keep raving about it. And I still think Scotty Miller was a great signing. I know he didn't really do a ton in Tampa the past couple of years. But, man, you get him some opportunities in space, he could produce.
They're going to have so many opportunities to be able to put the ball in some playmaker's hands. You talked about Jonnu. Kyle Pitts. Is Kyle Pitts going to live up to his billing? You talk about, I mean, I'm a big Mac Collins fan. I don't know if he'll ever be to fruition. I just love the fact, dude is a monster, man. If you can get the ball in his damn hands, look out. We're coming up on it. What is your lock and your walk-off, sir?
Hey, I'm going to stay consistent. My lock is the Cubs. I took them on Monday. That hit. They're minus the same thing they were Monday. They're minus 120. They're at the Pirates tonight.
Does the under hit? The over-under is 9.
I think the over hits.
Okay.
I would guess the over. I think it's going to be like a 7-5 type ball game. And then my walk-off is this, McGee. Postseason baseball around the corner. College football tomorrow. NFL preseason's wrapping up. Best sports time of the year. I could smell it in the air, baby. Let's go.
My lock, I think I'm going to take the Phillies at home. Christopher Sanchez versus Miles Mikolas of the Cardinals. Sanchez pitched really well, and the Cardinals struggle against lefties. So it's minus 138 on the money line is what I'm showing. So I'll take the Phillies in that action. Tonight, if you're up late, having yourself a couple of cocktails, 10:15 first pitch. We will have it here for you on Braves Country HD. For Tones and the rest of the gang, I'm Mac McGee. See you at 10:15. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM. We'll keep the stream up for everybody on YouTube, and we will replay the show just so you have time filler, man. The game will start until 10:15. Good Lord. We'll see you. Have a TGI Friday, baby.
Woo-hoo.
It's Friday, working stiffs. Everybody.
4, 3, 2, 1. Happy weekend.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country.
Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.